My name is Wayne Ronsart, and I'll be talking about a community composition comparison in prairies across three states. A little bit of background about our study. Soybean aphid is an invasive pest of Oriental distribution. In North America, it can cause significant yield losses of 15 to 40%. And in 2008 in Iowa alone, it is estimated that 4 million acres were specifically treated for this pest. In response to outbreaks of soybean aphid, a biological control program has been implemented and resulted in the release of Binodoxis communis. The strain released is of Chinese origin. It is a primary parasitoid of soybean aphid, which means that it is specifically parasitizing the aphid and not another parasitoid that may be utilizing the aphid. It has a relatively narrow host range within the genus Aphis, and to date it has been released in 7 states in the north central United States. With any biological control program, there is a corresponding risk assessment that goes with it. I'm going to go over 3 of the main points of a risk assessment, the first being the biological similarity, or known as centrifugal testing, where if your target species is D, you're going to test for host suitability of species C and E that are closely related, and then you are also going to test other more distantly related species such as A or H to determine the biological host range. And this has been done by Vikus and Heimpel in 2007 and then Deneau et al. Also is the ecological similarity, that is, do target and non-target species overlap temporally in their phenology? If your target species is the dotted line here, does that overlap with the solid line here? And in this case, it does, for the example. Also, interactions within the same feeding guild. If Binodoxis communis were to get into the pre-existing aphis or aphid community, what effect would that have on other parasitoids utilizing those aphids? And these 3 aspects of a risk assessment have been discussed by Lauda et al. 2003. Our objectives for this study were to determine the prairie aphid community structure prior to release of Binodoxis communis, and also to determine potential ecological hosts of Binodoxis communis, and we're focusing here specifically on the genus Aphis, which contains the soybean aphid. Our sampling, we had sites in 3 states, Indiana, Iowa, and Wisconsin. Indiana had 6 sites. Iowa had 3 sites that were intensively sampled on the same lines as Indiana and Wisconsin, but there were 23 other sites, which I will explain later as to why that is important. And then 4 in Wisconsin. We sampled using transects from June through August, and for identification, we identified both alate and apterous forms of the aphids that we found, and also their associated host plants. Our aphids that we identified during transect sampling, as opposed to other random sampling when we came across other aphids, we found 99 species. Of those, one was an undescribed species from the genus Urolucan. That's pictured here on the top. We found that in all 3 states. We also found 16 aphis species. Of those 16 aphis species, we found 15 in Indiana, 10 in Iowa, and 5 in Wisconsin. Here is a list of those aphis species. It's rather long. It consists of native aphis species and other exotic aphis species. like to move on to our analysis where we use, of the community, where we used a non-metric multi-dimensional scaling analysis with a Brake-Curtis distance measure, which was ideal for our ecological data. We reduced our data set by removing all singletons. That is, we removed aphids that occurred at just a single prairie site. And then we also reduced the data set to ensure that all prairies used in the analysis had an equal number of site visits. And to adjust for sampling differences between the three states, we converted aphid abundance from total abundance to abundance per square meter sampled. A couple of points that I would like to share with you about the analysis before we go into figures from this is that the NMDS analysis is a two-dimensional representation of multi-dimensional data. And the units on the axes are not important. Rather, I would like you to focus on the polygons, the shapes within those figures, and the shape and how those shapes overlap. N in this figure represents the number of prairie sites used in this analysis, 13. X would be the number of aphid species utilized in this analysis. As you can clearly see, Iowa is separated from Indiana and Wisconsin quite greatly, indicating that the aphid community in Iowa at these three sites is quite dissimilar from Indiana and Wisconsin. Indiana's slightly overlaps with Wisconsin, meaning that this prairie community of aphids is slightly similar. An interesting thing to point out about Wisconsin's is that there were four sites, and each corner of this polygon represents a site. And that means these sites were very spread out in terms of their community. And then Indiana, having six sites, is only using three for the outer boundaries. Now recall the additional 23 sites I mentioned from Iowa. If you due to the reductions that we made in this analysis, those additional 23 sites that were sampled less intensively now fit equally. And by increasing your sample size to 35 prairies and 32 aphid species, Iowa now has an aphid community that overlaps with Indiana and Wisconsin. The differences here are most likely attributed to your sample size. To conclude upon this, we did find a total of 16 aphis species during our sampling that would be considered possible non-target species for Doxus communis. The aphid community may vary along a habitat gradient rather than the spatial gradient of the three states. And this would have been shown by the increased sample size in Iowa, where we would have been sampling a greater range of prairie types, where we had sand prairies, very wet prairies, hillside prairies, and that would have increased the plant diversity and then correspondingly the aphid diversity that we may find. So sample size does matter. However, it may not be feasible in this case to accrue the number of sites that Iowa had in Indiana. They would have had to have covered the entire state in order to accomplish that, and logistically that would just would not have been possible. With that, I would like to acknowledge all of the landowners and managers that graciously allowed us to conduct our research on their land, funding from the Northeast Central Soybean Research Program, aphid identification by David Vogtland and Doris Lagos, graduate student support from Jessica Orlowski and Nick Schmidt, technical support from our hourly workers during the summer. We'd also like to dedicate this presentation in memory of the late Bob O'Neill. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Questions for Wayne?
All right, thank you.
We have one other.
Yes.
How does species, how's the host plant species composition change between those sites?
That's very interesting. The question is, how does the host plant species composition change between those sites? And the answer is, I haven't exactly looked at that yet. The differences in how host plants and the plant communities in general were analyzed at those sites is quite different. In Iowa, we actually hired a botanist to do a complete plant survey along transects during the season. And in Wisconsin and Indiana, we did not have that. So there is some gaps in how we would be able to look at that.
Okay, thank you very much, Mike.